Deconstruct 2006 presents Thomas van der Waal, Understanding Folksonomy, Tagging the Quirks.
Pleasure to be here. I always enjoy presenting in Europe, and I get what I consider to be a better perspective on what's happening in the web and with technology when I'm presenting in Europe, and I get very good questions when I'm here. So let me begin. The definition of tagging is a simple data or metadata externally applied to an object. It's used for sorting. It's a hook for aggregating. You can place a hook on an object and essentially tie a string on it and pull things back in. And the definition for tagging is essentially not necessarily the web, but it's those tags that were put on binders and boxes by anthropologists when they're going out and digging in fields. And this is how essentially they use putting tags on boxes and objects as well. It provides an identifier and or a description. I'm going to play with this for just a second. Oh, it's not on. That's a lovely switch. And it also is a personal marker. So let me quickly jump to the F word, which is folksonomy. Now it's working, which is folksonomy. Folksonomy essentially came out of a discussion on an information architecture closed listserv where people were asking what makes Delicious and Flickr different from all the tagging services that had come prior. They are not the first tagging services to come around. There were tools like Bitsy. There's been tagging tools that go back to the days of DOS that are a wrapper around files, and you could add tags and extra metadata to make it easier to find files. So it's not something that is necessarily new, but with Delicious and Flickr, tagging started to work in ways that were quite unexpected because it was providing value. So one of the things that we were discussing was folksonomy is a result of the personal free tagging of pages and objects for one's own retrieval. And that was very important. It wasn't tagging things for others' retrieval. It's tagging for one's own retrieval. And tagging is done in a social environment and is shared and open to others. And tagging is an act done by the person consuming the information, and that was also very important. Because a lot of the tagging that had gone on before was it was for other people, and it made it very difficult to understand what somebody was actually tagging something, because they would think, oh, people actually call it this, but they might not understand the terms that they were using. So we start looking at the value of folksonomy, and the value is the external tagging is derived from people using their own vocabulary, and adding explicit meaning, which may come from inferred understanding from the information or object. People are not so much categorizing as providing a means to connect items or placing hooks on them and provide their meaning in their own understanding. It's very important that they're doing this for themselves, because when they're putting information for their own retrieval, for their own understanding, and then they're making an explicit action from something that may be implied. It's in their own vocabulary, and it makes it very easy for them to retrieve it. But it's also, I wouldn't say more honest, but it's more transparent that they call something a dong, where other people may call it by another name. It just may be a mammal to other people. So it has that distinct understanding. And it's really important for retrieval that it is their own vocabulary, it is their understanding, and adding explicit meaning. Because they can be looking at an article on the BBC site about something that's going on in the Middle East, and one person may be saying this is the end times, another person may be just saying this is a minor conflict. And it's their own perceptions, that's their own implicit and inferred understanding of what is going on and in what is in that content, but they're making an explicit statement about it. It may have absolutely no representation that it is the end times or Armageddon or anything else in that article, But it's that person's perspective. And if they want to recall that article for themselves, it's really important that they put things in their own perspective. One of the things that I found it makes it helpful to understand folksonomy is what I call the folksonomy triad. Folksonomy is essentially made up of three items. It's made up of an object. It's also made up of metadata, or the tag. And it's identity. And the identity is insanely important, because almost all of the systems that came before Delicious didn't have identity, and that was very problematic. And if somebody was tagging somebody something, this is monkeys, and it's like, it's not monkeys, this is really apes, you could start filtering on that person and saying, oh, do not show me this person. I don't agree with what they're calling this. Let me remove that person or that identity from what I'm getting back. Or you may agree with their perspective. So the person that's saying minor conflict in the Middle East, you may say, oh, I agree with the minor conflict. Let me grab this information. A person that's calling it end times, I don't really care to see that. It's propaganda. It's something else. It's not akin to your own perspective. But we have things that are represented between these different components. We have interest expressed between the object and identity. When somebody has we're making an explicit statement, we're doing it out of interest. Either we like it or we don't like it, but there's an interest there that's expressed. The expression from identity and metadata, the relationship there, is vocabulary. We're using our own vocabulary to express our ideas, to make that information in those hooks easy to pull back from us. And the definition is the expression of the tag or the razor-sharp piece of metadata pointing at the object. And so by using the definition, we can figure out the connection between the metadata and the object and start inferring what that person is thinking or how that relates to us. But with folksonomy, we can start looking for others. And that's part of the social networking component of it and the social computing part of it that really makes it interesting. So we have our same triad, and we move the definition outside of our own framework, and we move it externally. And now moving toward a dual folksonomy triad. And where we have identity, we're looking for community, or people who are near in thought. Others who essentially think like us, have similar interests, and so forth. But where we have vocabulary, with the community and the larger group, it's terminology. It's more formalized. There are common ways within a group to actually say things for more common understanding. We can point to something and say, this is an ape. We can give it the Latinate definition or terms, and that works very well. And that community starts having, either using vernacular or using more scientific terms, the terminology sticks, and that becomes your people, that's your group. I have room. So that starts being expressed, and it makes it easier to start finding others. And where we have interest, where we start having more people using the same definition, it becomes culture. You may be an Audi aficionado, and you may have an Audi car. It's like, oh, I'm tagging things Audi. I'm looking for Audi parts. But the culture is also tagging things Audi that may be hats. It may be design white papers from Audi. It may be other things about Audi culture. It may be an Audi pen set. And so we start having different understandings when we start finding community with identity. But one of the nice things about this triad is we can remove any of these components. We can remove an object if we have identity and find people with community that have the same definition and are using similar terminology to substitute other objects. We would agree with what they call objects for five or six of these things, and we can just quickly move across and say, oh, give me Audi. I'll take what this community is saying about Audi, and I can start filtering people in or out based on identity. But it makes it really easy to start doing pivots and start doing removing one object or component and finding other components. But one of the things we have to start looking at is folksonomy essentially is a bottom-up reaction to taxonomy. And so we get the battle of folksonomy versus taxonomy. So we start off with taxonomy and folksonomy in different camps. It's a business relationship between taxonomy. It's top-down. They're trying to figure out what people are calling things, but they have a set way that they call things, a set structure, a set hierarchy, set formatting. and a way to call their products, a way that they have their services, how you find information. It follows a very set structure. And we have the customer. And if they're tagging things and building essentially their own folksonomy out of it, they're calling things by what they call them. It's like, oh, you know, this is, you know, the product. This is, you know, what I think about this whole class of products. I have a certain way that I'm calling things. My community may call it the same thing. But each pays attention to the other. The business community, in order to make their taxonomy, pays attention to what the customers call things. And that has some weight as they're building the taxonomy. The customers start calling things what's in the taxonomy because they want to find the products. If they're going to the website, if they're talking to salespeople, they have to know the language that's used in the taxonomy. But it doesn't always work, and it's not really optimal when you've got a product in the middle. Because both of these have an interest in the product. The business has an interest in selling the product and marketing the product. The people may have an interest and a need and actually want the product, but they need to have the terminology to be correct and to be something that they understand. So it's not really a battle between taxonomy and folksonomy. It's actually taxonomy and folksonomy. And we have an overlaying of the two, and our product should sit in the middle. And we should start paying attention to what people are normally calling it and make it easy for people to tag things that are in our sites, that are in our product catalogs and so forth, so that they can come back and find this information and we can start figuring out what real people are calling our items that we're selling or the things that we're writing. Whatever it is that we're doing and putting out there, we're putting it out on the web, we're putting it out for consumption for a reason, and that is to be found. So we start looking at the business value of tagging. The first thing we need to understand are the business tensions. We have naming control on the business side and people's vocabulary on the other side. The naming control means that you can have your database of all your products and it's not going to change. It's going to be essentially static. You always know that your Amfax 5000 broom is going to be your Amfax 5000 broom. People's vocabulary may actually be calling it the clean sweeper because that becomes the vernacular because it does an amazing job sweeping. And so you've got the two sides, and it's like, how do you get the people calling it the clean sweeper to find the Amfax 5000, that amazing broom? You also have in-house versus the outside services, which is, if you're doing tagging, you might pick up a tool, an open source tool like Scuttle, and build your own tagging, or you may use something like Delicious or Yahoo's MyWeb or Raw Sugar or another tagging service and say, okay, here's a link. Anybody can click and add this to their their own tags and their own products that they're bookmarking. And there's benefits of either one, and sort of sorting out which direction you're going to go is quite important. And then there's the monetary value, which is known on the taxonomy side. We know that if we have a common naming structure and things are easily found, we know that there's certain value in that. But right now, the monetary value is not necessarily known for many business folks because it's done by people outside of their organization. It's like, you know, how do we know that we can find clean sweeper if that's really what everybody's calling it? And then we start getting into the consistent and emergent. People may not call it the clean sweeper 6 months from now. They may have another name for it because it falls apart and it's utter rubbish. So the, you know, consistency of having it the Amfax 5000 is something that has extreme business value. And so it's important to understand the tensions and sort of, you know, where your company's slider is going to be when you're thinking about the content, when you're thinking about opening up tagging, understanding where you're going to sit and how open you're going to be if you're going to use things inside or outside. We start looking at the business gains from that, and it becomes an improved understanding of the customers. We know what they're talking about. We know what they call our products. We can start seeing if they're tagging things that the Amfax 5000 it's like dog pen. It's like, dog pen? Why is it, you know, dog pen tag? And it's like, oh, it cleans dog pens really well. And the rubbish that's excreted from your dog is actually cleaned up really well by the Amfax 5000. So it's like, oh, we have an understanding of how the people are using it. We understand how to market this product. We never thought about putting it in dogging magazines. But it's, you know, it's now something that we would consider. I've said something funny. I don't understand what. understanding current terminology is, I don't. means understanding all of it. So it's you're going to get an awful lot of feedback when you have tagging. You're going to understand, you can sort of see where the spikes are if you have identity turned on and everybody can tag and you can count where everybody is tagging. And so it's like, oh, the Amfax 5000 clean sweeper, that's 90% of the people are calling it the clean sweeper. You know, we've got to put that in our product catalog. We have to make that product found by that terminology. Other terms may be farther out there, but we might find that there's 600 terms for that Amfax 5000, and we only were tracking 15 or 20. So that starts making sense, and it's like you get everything when you start tagging if people are actually doing it and becoming involved with it. The market segmentation with you can start seeing people who own dogs, and that becomes a market that you had never noticed before. And you can start seeing that there actually is a market there. You can do something to market, to advertise to those people, get to know those people a little bit better. And you can find other markets that you hadn't necessarily known before. And then the ability to easily follow the customer. Find other things that those people are tagging. If they're using an outside tagging service like Delicious, you can see that, oh, they're looking at sweepers, they're looking at brooms. It's like, what other products are they looking at? What are they calling those products? You can follow them and see what they're doing. If they're calling your product utter rubbish, you know, you can actually go and see what things they're calling derogatory terms. So it starts making sense, and you can get a better understanding of who your customers are, how they think about themselves, the world around them, your products, your competitors' products, and have a much better sense. So we're talking about these customers and people tagging. So who tags? Well, right now it's only about a half of 1% of people on the web are tagging. That's derived from taking the Nielsen statistics of 750 million people on the planet using the web are actually as the total number, and there's somewhere between 2 million and 4 million people tagging on the various services. And this doesn't include blog tagging, and I'll get to that slightly later. Or maybe I won't. I may have removed that slide. Essentially, blog tagging is more like adding categories where it's the content creator, not the content consumer, who's doing the putting the keywords on it. And so it's more like adding categories or keywords, and it has a slightly different understanding, and they work slightly differently. And I haven't included the numbers of the folks that are doing services like Technorati or other blog scraping services or blog reading services that are picking up what they're calling tagging. And I think Technorati has finally moved away from calling it tags and calling it blog categories. But there's not necessarily that many people doing it. But then look at where RSS is. When we start hearing the RSS numbers, it's a year and a half ago it was 4%, then it was 6%, it's now around 8%. And it's growing, and it's beginning to get to that hockey stick part of adoption. And tagging is essentially in that same area. And it's like it's growing slowly as people discover Flickr and Delicious and other tagging services, and even Amazon doing tagging. That's going to help, and people are going to say, what is this? Why does it really work? So why do people tag? The reasons that people are tagging is essentially their own value first, or as Joshua Porter called it, the Delicious lesson, was that people had to have some reason and provide some value to themselves first in order for them to be tagging. They're not tagging out of their own goodness of their own heart, but they do have a value that they do derive from it, and that is why they tag. It adds perspective and context. And so people can say this is summer trip on camping equipment and many different things. And that can just be missing metadata and adding the perspective and context. It can be emergent vocabulary. You can have skate kids who are calling products something completely different for skateboarding, and youth culture tends to change their vocabulary very quickly. And you're able to keep up with it, and they're able to tag the products that are of interest to them and switch it from, rad to, I'm no longer a youth. But it's, you're able to follow what is going on, and they can keep up with their own changes in vocabulary. And then it's also going to be a personal descriptor. And it's like, this is why I'm calling this, this is my camping trip. I have a personal reason putting it in context use. But then there's also refindability. And that's one of the main things that made tagging different and delicious different, is it started solving a problem of technical pain that almost every person on the planet still has. We're doing an incredible amount of things very, very well and improving things very well. But once we find an object or find a paper or find an article, it's really difficult to get back to that. How do we hold on to it? And we're running across an insane amount of information. And you know, you can talk to almost any person, somebody who's really sweet and kind, and ask a simple question of, have you ever had a time where you needed information, you know you had seen it, and you could not find it? And you can watch their blood pressure rise, and they get really tense. And then they just start swearing. And it's like, it just is amazing to watch this. And it's like that technical pain is still really, really there, and it's really untapped, except for around tagging. And when people are putting their own understanding, their own context, and their own framework of understanding on an object, it makes it much, much easier for them to retrieve that information, and refindability is greatly improved. And it can be used for aggregating information. It's like, oh, I need this for work. This is a sporting event. You can add your own context from above and pull it back to yourself very easily. You can also make task-based aggregation. It's like, oh, this is information for a presentation. This is information for a white paper, a memo that I'm working on. And start moving that and making it easier to pull back to yourself. You can state interest in something and saying, you know, to read. And lastly, we have sociality. We're sharing the information with others and making others with a similar vocabulary or terminology provide them the ability to find the same information. But the two things that are most important are their own for their own value first, and making sure that there is a value that somebody gets from using the service, and they do have a reason to keep coming back, and it's not out of the goodness of their own heart. And then also refindability, and making sure you focus on the refindability. And there's one other component when you're working with tagging services that is insanely important. And to paraphrase Monty Python, every tag is sacred. Because to every user, they're an expert in their own vocabulary. They've called something with that tag for a reason. And when you talk to people about implementing tagging services, the first thing a lot of the people that are doing it, particularly if they come out of sort of a library science or a taxonomy background, is, well, this is distinctly wrong. This person's not an expert. We would never call it, you know, the clean sweeper. It's the ANFAC 5000. It's a broom. It has other attributes, but it's not a clean sweeper. We would never call it that. But if you remove clean sweeper from the tags or make it impossible for them to find it, they will not find it. They can't find your product. They can do nothing with it. They've added their own context and their own understanding to that object, whether it's an article, whether it's an object you're trying to sell, whether it's anything out there. It can be a video, anything with a URI that's addressable. People can get back to it with their own understanding and their own tags. So what exactly are tags, and what are the shape of tags? We've essentially got nouns. It's like, this is a dog. This is a formal name. They can be descriptions and adjectives. This is blue. This is a fine product. And it also can be expletives. And a lot of the trouble with tagging is, what do people, you know, what do you do when somebody starts swearing? It's like, you know, this is just bollocks. And it's like, you know, I hate this. But you've identified a person you can go and talk to if you have identity. And it's like, you know, it may be a cloaked identity, but you can say, hey, you know, you called our product bollocks. And it's like, why didn't it work? It's like, well, all the bristles fell out. It's like, oh, the bad glue shipment. We really should do something about that. But, and you can start understanding why people have negative reactions, and possibly you can do something with it, or maybe just somebody is really cranky. So we've got environments where people can tag, and they're tagging things. But what types of sites are, you know, people tagging? We've got social bookmarking. The obvious is Delicious and Raw Sugar and others that are out there. I think at last count there was 70 sites that claimed they were doing social bookmarking. We have media with Flickr, Dabble, Last.fm. Dabble is a video site that allows you to tag videos, but then also mash them up. If they have Creative Commons license that say you can essentially remix this, you can take, you know, 45 seconds from one, a minute of your own, and just start mixing, and it's all web-based. But it makes it easy when you can tag all the different videos and just say, oh, this is football, this is football, this is football and fans, and so you can string together a highlight film if you want and do some different things with it. We also have shopping. Amazon's doing tagging, and I'm going to cover this a little bit later. Geolocation with Palatial, which is a mapping site, and you can basically tag anything that you would like to with tagging. There is mobile. Socialite is a tool that's coming out, and you can tag anything from your mobile phone and say, oh, this is museum. This is, shadows. You know, you're in the middle of large buildings, and it's like you never see sunlight, and tag it shadows. There's intranet. IBM has Dogear, which they are not saying that they're going to do anything with, but there's been an awful lot of requests from other enterprises to actually allow people to use or be able to buy Dogear. Scuttle is an open source tool that's very close to Delicious. And there's OS and files. And the lovely Mac system with Tiger allows you to tag all of your files and be able to attract them back and aggregate them as you wish by whatever you call them. So you can have a presentation and say, deconstruct, and all the things that I use for deconstruct, I've tagged those files. In Spotlight, just deconstruct, pull it back, nicely done. So essentially, you also have tagging venues, which is wherever there's a digital object or a marker. Anything that has a URI, anything with a geolocation, anything can be tagged digitally. Using the tagging services, I'm starting to jump over to what the tagging services offer. If you're looking at building a tagging service, what are the things you need to consider? Obviously, tagging. A tagging service has tagging. Who knew? They also most often have descriptions. You're able to put a longer description other than just having a few tags on them. Often they have feeds, so you can pull an RSS feed. There's means to pull this in externally. The interfaces are different on many of the tagging services, and they have different functionality, and the interface greatly changes the interaction on for the different tagging services. Additional offerings include groups. Magnolia offers very good groupings, and it's a really good way to find things in Magnolia. Flickr has groups. Favorites. Wink has favorites where you have one vote and say, this is a favorite of mine. Then also being able to rate things, having star systems and saying, here are my tags, this has three, this has one, this has five, and so forth. And ratings are quite important for a lot of the people who know that their tags are being picked up through feed readers and people are paying attention to their tags. And it starts offering another level of understanding because it's like, here are 16 mobile devices. You can understand what I've said mobile device, and they may all be by Nokia or they may all be my Motorola or somebody else, and they can have ratings of them within those, and gives them another layer of understanding within them. And then also almost all the tagging services have search. And then some of them allow you to save the page because the page often changes, and who knew that ever would happen on the web because everything's always the same every time you go back. Another interaction is the tags and delimited combinations. You can have spaces, which is what Delicious uses, and you start getting mashed up words like what's a tag, and those begin to get a little bit harder to parse, and for people who aren't tagging, it's a little bit more difficult for them to understand when there isn't a space. Most often, those people are looking to add commas. In the Western world, when we have a string of items or a string of words, we do comma separations, and that's quite easily understood by regular folks, which are the 95% of the people who are not designing and developing. So I guess we're not all real folks in here. And then quotes for compound words. Flickr uses this, where you're able to say, run Brighton, England together, Dairy Queen, which has ice cream in the States. You can put Dairy Queens, two separate words, put quotes around them, you're good to go. And then we have suggested tags, which is always a hot topic in tagging services. One of the ways that works quite well is offering up tags, suggestions from your own tags. Delicious does this, and it works rather well. And then from other tags. And then at this point, you start breaking the person using the tagging service, getting things coming out of their own mind. What would they actually call it? If you're suggesting something that's not in their vocabulary, it's going to be difficult for them to start retrieving things. And that's the similar problem that the automated object and content. And so if you're looking at the a page and saying, oh, this is about dogs, this is about brooms, and providing that information back, you may never get clean sweeper added as a tag. And then tag combinations is another way to look at the interactions, and having where you have more than one tag. You may have Brighton, you may have England, you may have pub. You click and it goes. Interactions for ratings, there are stars, positive and negative, the single vote favorite. With feeds, it's quite often that people have feeds, and because it is a social activity, it makes it easy to pull it in with RSS, and you don't necessarily have to go back and sort through. You might say, I'm interested in what Paul Hammond is tagging. Let me just subscribe to those. Have an API so you can interact with them, do things on different services. And then the big question is, how much access to the data and metadata do you really want to give? So now moving on to interface, as well as one of the things I really like about tagging, because it involves the art of the pivot. And first I'm going to look at Raw Sugar and its pivots. This is one of the Raw Sugar pages. It's for Folksonomy, who knew I'd pull a Folksonomy page. But you've got, it's tagged by Melonstock and 148 others. And you can click on Melonstock or see who the 148 others are and do a pivot on that information. You also have recent tags on the item, so you can see the Emily Chang eHub, the tools directory Ajax blog, and other things. You can do a pivot on those, and it's like, oh, I've been to this page before. Let me see other tools that are out there. Let me get other directories. And it's like we're going one direction. We can go off in another direction and find similar related things. Recent isn't necessarily a pivot, but it's another filter and sort of the page. So it's essentially giving another view, and it can trigger a different understanding of the information than popular can. And lastly, one of the things that Raw Sugar does is offer facets. So we've got Folksonomy, and we have internet software, so it's we're taking tag combinations, grabbing another facet, and it's like, oh, I want Folksonomy related to internet. That's what I'm really interested in. I've got a tag combination. I'm cutting down the 4,000, the 2,935 pages maybe down to 400 or something, and it's a little bit more manageable. This is the Raw Sugar page for Melonstock, the individual. We can view their profile, which is interesting information if you are finding things that are of interest to you. And like, hey, maybe I want to subscribe to Melonstock. They have some interesting things on this page. The vocabulary and their interests seem to match mine. Maybe I want to follow what they're doing. I can jump over to Melonstock's tags, start scanning down and start doing pivots on those and finding similar information. And lastly, I am convinced that Melonstock has a similar interest, has similar vocabulary. You know, they can save me time going out and searching. Let me add them to my watch list and let me keep track of the things that they're finding. So now we've jumped over to a URL page or the page for the page for the Emily Chang eHub. We can look at the commonly used tags. We can pivot on those and it's like, hey, I really like this. Give me something else that is list, or give me something else that's Ajax. There's Melonstock again. I can jump back and see, hey, you know, Melonstock has tagged this page. Let me grab another page that's similar. And then also taking the tags and doing the pivots on those. One of the other things that's really important on the tagging services sites is the ability to scan the information. Delicious does this really well. When you sit down with people and you show people Delicious for the first time, it often gets a very visceral reaction. And you'll hear things like, I gave up DOS, this is very geeky. But it scans really well. You can use your scroll with your up and down arrows and find information very quickly and find things of interest very quickly when you're scanning the page. Jumping to the information for the URL for itself, you're able to scan posting history, see sort of what month it was of interest, being able to find first post on the information, the tags that were added then, maybe the tags are changing. And if get lucky if Gordon's page is actually, if you're Gordon, you want to see what people are calling your page and watch it over time. The posting history and looking at the tags that are in those could be of interest to you. And it's like, oh, all of a sudden people are now calling it open source. And it's like, oh, I didn't really think of it as being open source even though it's PHP. But it's like, okay, let me actually follow this page. I'm going to jump to tag clothes in just a moment. But it becomes breaking the information in different facets, different understandings. You can scan those different facets quite easily. Another one is Magnolia, which designers really, really like. It has a lot of white space. It's a little bit more pretty. And also, when you're sitting down with people who aren't doing tagging, they say, wow, this is really nice. It doesn't get the strong visceral response against it. But it's really difficult to scan, because if we go back to Delicious, you have a whole lot of information that's being displayed on the page. And when people are looking for information, it's like, oh, I may have seen five or six of these things. I want to scroll. I want to find new things. And with Magnolia, that's much more difficult. Often it's only two items on a page, four items on a page, rather than 25, 50, or 100 items on a page that you get in Delicious. And it's a very different interaction. This worked for some people. This is what some people like. Other people, not so much. Going to jump over to spheres of sociality. So we have different layers of social interaction, part using James Surowiecki's Wisdom of Crowds, and most people focus on the collective. I make sure that I always include mass. So the mass is everybody. So Digg, when it first launched, people were saying, this is a great understanding of the collective. I argue that it's a great understanding of the mass, because oftentimes the things on the front page aren't of interest to you. But if you start getting into a collective and saying, give me Web 2.0 information, give me Ajax, give me DOM scripting, that starts getting more on target to what I'm looking for. And it becomes a much better representation of what's popular, what's of interest, when you start getting into a collective and a subset. We also have the selective. So it's being able to say, these 10 people, let me follow them. Let me follow a network of people in Delicious or Yahoo MyWeb and the other services. Like, let me follow this person for Ajax. Let me follow this person for social bookmarking, Ubicom, and so forth. We have different, essentially build our own fantasy league of taggers for different subjects, and have other people who are the experts in their industry and their fields, and people who have similar interests, we can follow them quite easily. So jumping into the services, this is Yahoo's MyWeb, this is MyPage. The interesting is essentially the mass. It's very rare that I find anything of interest here, and this is the default page. And I really wish that I could not have this page show up for me first. Wink has a similar front page where you have the collective. And so these are things that are recently discovered. When you have a login, it starts modifying that to things that are of interest, starts paying attention to that. The selective, Delicious Network. So this is my network and people that I follow and are my filters for items on Delicious are over on the right-hand side. And as they add things, it comes through my stream. This is Yahoo MyWeb, my contacts. So these are this is my selective view of Yahoo MyWeb. And it's people whom I know, have similar interests. Most often, this is coming up with things. Sometimes at first pass, like the Jessica Simpson MP3 and DRM, I didn't think I'd have interest in it. I went and looked at it, and I'm like, wow, this is a killer article. And so it works really, really well for me. This is the Magnolia Groups page. And so when things are tagged, you can add them to a group. This is for CSS. It's a place that I drop into quite a bit and see what's of interest in Magnolia within the CSS group. And then there's the personal. Right now, my favorite is Yahoo's MyWeb. I can add this access to everybody. I can have it just to people in my contacts or just myself, which is quite helpful. And this is the thing that makes the Yahoo MyWeb really powerful for me, is that when I search in Yahoo, My tags and my community's tags come up in the My Web at the very top of the page. Quite often the things that I'm looking for are about 5 pages to 40 pages deep on Yahoo and Google. Right now they're on the front page or one click from the front page, which is just insanely powerful for me, and it saves me an insane amount of time. It's doing for me what Google did for me in 1998 and 1999. It completely changes the way that I search because it pays attention to what I pay attention to. And there's the general results for Folksonomy that come back on the regular Yahoo search. It offers up tag combinations for Folksonomy as well. One of the other things that's helpful is filtering. One of the filters is clustering, and Flickr does that very well. If I'm looking for Portland, I can get Portland, Oregon through PDX, other things that are tagged with the photos. There's also tag combinations, and Raw Sugar does this quite well. As you start typing in Raw Sugar in the search bar, if you hit space, it throws in a comma to get tag combinations, which is really sweet in my perspective. And the other thing that it does is providing the facets and being able to add another tag combination. The tag cloud. I'm not fond of tag clouds. They're used in many ways that don't really work, and there's very few ways that they do work. This is just a subset of items in my tag cloud. When you throw a tag cloud in front of somebody as a navigation device and they're looking for something, they often have a difficult time finding what they're looking for because the large words actually are the things that they're drawn to. They're like, hey, you know, what's digital? What's digital lifestyle? This seems to be popular. They're looking for eating, but they've got distracted by digital lifestyle. If you put an unweighted vocabulary in front of them, they can find what they're looking for really, really quickly. And you say, oh, you know, find something that's of interest to you on this page, and they can find something within like 2 seconds or 3 seconds. On the previous version, it's much, much longer, and you watch people get distracted really, really easily. Where it works well, this is the Gordon's Get Lucky page, and its tag cloud is saying, this is what people are calling this object. That's a really good use of a tag cloud. It describes what is being called. You can quickly look at the page and say, oh, they're calling it PHP Folksonomy, MySQL. A handful of people are calling it Delicious, a handful of people calling it Web Dev. It's a more description of what's popular for that object, and that works very, very well. From a quantitative methods and visualization of variables, there's a lot of research in the 80s around weighted variables, and that's one of the uses for it. And being able to say, oh, I've got 40 variables, what are the top 10? Because I want to do analysis around those top 10 variables and see if those are of value to me. Moving on to shopping, and this is one that I've been having a whole lot of fun watching. And it's the Amazon page, and it's a snippet from the Amazon page. Different people have tags on different places on the page. Almost all the browsers on all my OSs right now have it under the product information. Tag this product in your tags. And then consumers tag this product with these things. And so you start having the art of the pivot showing up. And it's really nice. And we've got the pivot, and we can say, oh, I want to find Video iPod. Go to the Video iPod page. We can do pivots up on the information up on the upper left. And then descriptions for things that are tagged with Video iPod. So we get the things that are tagged most popularly with it, and we can pivot on those and look at those objects. We've got the pivots on the customers who use the tag Video iPod. It lists who named them and things that they tagged them with. We've got products tagged with Video iPod are also tagged. So it starts breaking it down, and they're tagged with, you know, most popularly with iPod with 4. Can't Wait, 2 people are calling it that. Discomusic.com to pick. 2 people are calling it that. And customers use the tag Video iPod also used these other tags. And it's really nice, and it's like you can start sorting and filtering and pivoting on just about anything on the page. When you get to the product page for the tags, customers also tag this product with iPod, with Cool. Christina, obviously Christina, if she knows to follow her name, or all of the Christinas are now anxiously awaiting the arrival of their Video iPod. Discountmusic.com top pick. There may not be a page on Amazon for that, but throwing it in a tag makes a whole lot of sense. And also being able to do the list mania, throwing tags on pages around certain subjects. If they had a one-click button to build a list mania or a wish list from tags that you put on, that would just be insanely cool. It's not there yet. And I know a lot of people are looking for it. Highly recommended. And lastly, this is a Chef present. So either Chef wants this or Chef is going to be the lucky recipient of a video iPod. Here we're looking at Jake Kepler's profile. We did a pivot on that. Find the tags that he used. He only used two tags. Look at the things that he tagged with that, with those tags. And now looking to overall improvements. Tagging is not perfect. The place where it really needs an awful lot of attention is tagging for those who are not tagging already. The interface is really difficult. It's really messy to a lot of people when they put in a term in the tag search bar, and that's the thing that most everybody sees the first time they go to a tagging site, is that text box for search. And they try interacting with it exactly like search, and it doesn't return things the same way. Also, we've got the volatility of tagged objects. They change. One of the nice things is being able to save a page so you know that the page has been updated, when it's been corrected or edited, or it has new content added to it. It would be really nice when you tag it and you're making an explicit statement to say, oh, you've made an explicit statement that you have interest in this. Let's get this back. It's been updated, and have a two-way street. When the item has been removed, it'd be really nice to know whether similar items or where that item has been archived. And then paying attention to a granular social network. I can follow Jake Kepler and then follow one of his tags and just follow that. So rather than the broadline friend, it's now a single tag that that person has a relationship to me around. And thank you very much.